Hallelujah. All right, you can have your seat. Ready for God's word? Amen. And are you also ready to flow with the Holy Ghost? So that's part one. Amen. So after hearing the word, we will now act on the word more. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and from verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts or spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And we have said that the word spiritual is the word pneumaticos. That's a Greek word. Okay, you must know that the Bible was not originally written in English. Okay, so we mustn't assume that there's no need to explore the words from their original rendering. Okay, yes, some have abused it. Okay, and say things that do not have meaning in the name of getting to the root words. But we will not, because of that, amen, not do what we ought to do, okay? It is the right thing to do, to study hard, praise God, in literature, in linguistics now. That's a common thing to do, right? You trace the etymology of words. In other words, to its origin. You know, you find certain words in English, but it has Latin origin. And then you trace it all the way back. You explore the culture of the people that own the word and how they use the word at that time. Then it helps you. For instance, in Luke 24:49, right, Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of a Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And the word endued is the Greek word enduo, E-N-D-U-O-O. And it's actually an old word, okay, an old verb, which was used to describe putting on a garment. Okay? So it was a common word used amongst the people when you put on a garment, you know, they simply say enduo, right? So, pardon me, I don't speak Greek, but at least I, for Bible studies, I will have spoken Greek, right? But you get the point. So if at that time you want to say, go wear clothes, maybe you want to tell a child, go wear clothes. I mean, you use the word enduo. Go and put on clothes, right? Now, Jesus used that word to say that you will be endued with power from on high. So, it was supposed to help the consciousness of those he spoke to, and he's speaking to us today, right? That you must be that conscious of the power of God, like the clothes you are wearing. Amen. In Acts 1:8, he told his disciples to get a hold of power. Same Luke wrote the two. So get a hold of it so much that you are conscious that the power of God is upon me, is around me, is with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's important. So that's why from time to time you hear such words, not to bamboozle you, no. I mean, there's nothing in the words. They're words, praise God. But in study, so that it will make a whole lot of sense. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
You know, even today, you find different culture and different manner of speaking or cultural language that if you don't live around there, when they say it, you'll be slow to grasp it. That okay, what do they mean? What do they mean? I mean, imagine you brought up in the city, you know, you understand your integrated science and all of that, maybe some physics or chemistry, and then you get into somewhere and then they tell someone evaporate. They're like, ah, but it's not liquid now. You're slow, right? So that's not the point. So imagine that there was a preacher there and now use that word evaporate and then they translated it to English. You must find out, right? Does that make sense? Are you there? Okay, so that's why. And it's no big deal, so nobody should be fretful. They say, Greek word again, yes. Again and again, praise God. Okay, let's move on. So now concerning spiritual, right? We said that word spiritual is the word pneumaticos. It simply means things of the spirit or things that relate to or belong to the spirit. Okay? So because we know the root word, that's why we can define it that way. Things that belong to or relate to the spirit. A simple way. The spirit's things. Okay? Spirit, then apostrophe S, things. The spirit's things. Amen? So remember, was it yesterday or was it Friday that we said that it simply means that if the spirit is somewhere, then you will find his things because his things are his possessions. Praise God. Praise God. You know, but there's a truth that you must also understand. Okay, let me. I'll say that later. So the things of the spirit. Then verse 2 says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, simply silent idols. Idols that cannot speak, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. All right? So it means the Holy Ghost speaks. Our God speaks. Praise God. Not like the idols that are silent. The Spirit of God speaks. So a man cannot speak by the Spirit of God and deny Jesus' authority or rob him of his place. And same is true when he says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So no man can acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus but by the Spirit of God. And you know in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So it means that to be saved, you have to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus, right? Are you there? You have to believe that Jesus is Lord. So from 1 Corinthians 12 and 3, we can say that you cannot believe that Jesus is Lord except the Spirit of God helps you to. And that's why we pray when we go out on evangelism. Okay? Not because we want to go out so that we can feel spiritual, or so that we can have a report to tender in church, or so that, well, our leaders ask us if we preach this week, or our pastor asks us, we'll say, yes, I preached. No. We pray. Of course, we go out to preach because Jesus has commanded us to. And we pray going out to preach because we understand that it is a spiritual warfare. That it is not because you just went out to preach that someone will believe. The help of the Spirit is required for someone to acknowledge that message. John 16. 7-9, where John tells us that the Spirit of truth You know, when he comes, he will convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Okay? Or as it is in King James, he will convict. Praise God. Okay, so let's move on. Verse 4, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Don't forget, diversity is various. Various kinds of gifts. Gifts simply refer to spiritual abilities or endowments. Okay? But the same Spirit. Now, let me quickly link something together here. You need to see a few verses in the same light. And that's number one, Luke 24:47. Number two, Acts 1:8. Number three, 1 Corinthians 12:4. Okay? As it were, all saying the same thing. Again, Luke 29:49, Acts 1:8, and Luke 24:49, again, Acts 1:8. And what's the last one? 1 Corinthians 12:4. Okay? So when Jesus said in Luke 24:49, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That word power, I'm sure you're used to that, is the word dunamis. You have ministries that bear that. Okay? Dunamis simply refers to an inherent ability. Something that you can do because of who you are. Okay? Something that you can do because of who you are. So, for instance, a human being can bend over to carry a bucket because man is wired and configured to behave like that. So if you find a human being that cannot bend over to lift a bucket, either too young to do that, right? Or there's a problem with that body. Does that make sense? Aha. So because you're human, then you can do that. That's inherent ability. Because of who you are, then you can do that. Okay? And that's dunamis. So when he says, until you be endued with power from on high, he was putting their attention on consciousness. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, and to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe. Then verse 20 says, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Or, you know, that's part of 19, then 20 is which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Okay? So, Paul lets us know that when you believe the gospel, the power of God works towards you. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. So, the gospel is God's power to save. When you put faith in it, power works towards you. Then Paul was now praying for the Ephesian saints in verse 19, chapter 1. In the book of Ephesians, right, that they come to know. So he was praying for their consciousness. Luke 24:49, Jesus was also helping their consciousness. That when the Spirit comes, this is what must happen to you. You will be endued with power from it. You will be clothed upon with power like a garment. So look out for that. The same thing is true for Acts 1:8. They asked him in verse 6, would you at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel? And then he said, it is not for you to know the times and seasons when the Father has put in his own power. Then verse 8, but ye shall receive. And you remember that word receive? An active word. Okay, I didn't mention it earlier. Lambano. Right, to get a hold of. You remember the description, right? Maybe you're in a party, or maybe you registered for a party, or maybe a party, and you paid. And then you get there, they offer you some cheap meal after paying so much. Then you say, no, I paid as much as, how much did I say the other time? 35,000, right? I paid 35,000 and then I'm seeing one meat pie. Sorry, fish pie. One fish pie and three pop-off. Ah, 35,000. What did you use to make the pop-off? That's the one. No. Then you fight. No. I requested for Chinese rice. Okay? So you demand for what is yours. So that word receive is a word that means to get a hold of something because it is yours or because it's your right to get a hold of it. Because it is yours or because it's your right. And in other cases, because you want it, because it's your desire. So you shall receive power. So Jesus was not saying power will come to you, just like Luke 24. At the background, of course, power will come to you because the Holy Ghost will come with his power. But this is what you must do. When it comes with his power, you will get a hold of power. And that, again, has to do with your consciousness. Amen? So it means that it is not just enough to have information that you have power. I'm not saying there's nothing good in knowing that you have power. There's something good, right? Like we said, information is for experiences. So if you want experiences, I mean, it's good to start from information. You believe right, you act right, you respond right, you function right. Okay? But the issue here is consciousness. You will receive, you will get a hold of power. So in Luke 24:49, you will put on power like a garment, consciousness. In Acts 1:8, you will get a hold of it. And the word used for power, of course, has to do with inherent ability. So it's saying a lot of things at the same time. That what is yours, you become conscious of it. Does that make sense? So in 1 Corinthians 12 and 4, where he says there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. The word gift is the Greek word charisma, C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A, charisma. It's a word that refers to supernatural endowments, where you are endowed with something. Okay, another way to say it is you are gifted with something. That is, you have special ability to do certain things. That's charisma. Okay, and so that refers to you as a person. Don't forget when we talked about the spirit within, right? We said the spirit within, what does it do? It brings you into salvation experience, right? And then it endows you. It comes with endowments, right? Endowments. So what I wanted to say earlier is this, that you must now acknowledge the fact that it is not as though the Spirit of God is inside you and then is apart from you. No. Or the gifts that it came with, right, is apart from you. No. As a result of your identity, that man called the believer in Jesus, that man called the new creation, right, is a man that has special abilities. You cannot separate the man in Christ from his abilities. Does that make sense? The same way you cannot separate the ability of a man to bend over to pick a bucket from the man. That's who he is. He's human. All right? So when you find a man that can't do that, you either say he's sick, right? Or he's weak, or something is wrong. Are you there? But when you find a man who is fit, he will always be able to bend over to pick a bucket. Does that make sense? So for the man in Christ as well, the gifts of the Spirit are his inherent abilities. They are part of him. So when you find a believer that cannot walk in them, then 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1 is something he needs to pay attention to. That means there's ignorance. And you know, we talked about ignorance on three levels, right? That means you don't know. You don't have information that you can actually function in the gifts, or the gifts of the Spirit are your abilities in Christ. It's not to make you proud, no. It's to make you effective in God's plan of reaching the lost. Amen? To make you effective in his plan. So that's first ignorance. The second ignorance is that you have information, but you don't know what to do with it. And then the third is that you're not able to even recognize or relate with the gifts when they're in demonstration or manifestation. All right? So when you find a man in Christ, so a man in Christ has the Spirit of God in him, right? And where the Spirit of God is, his power is there, right? Hey, are you here? And where the Spirit of God is, his things are there, right? Come on. Okay. So that means that the believer in whom the Spirit of God is, don't forget we have said his identity has changed and he has now been endowed with supernatural abilities. So he has that right and he ought to be conscious of who he has become, and then we'll find those things in expression, in manifestation. Praise God. Praise God. So again, the illustration. A man will naturally bend over to pick up a bucket. Same as the man in Christ, he should naturally be able to flow with the Holy Ghost. He should naturally be able to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. I will classify them in three parts: utterances, revelation, and power. Under utterances, you find kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And under revelation gifts, you find the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. And then under the power gifts, you find the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, and then the working of miracles. Those are inherent abilities of the man in Christ. What are they there for? To be a blessing. Praise God. To be a blessing. And so therefore, we must begin to think this way and to rework our ideologies and also help others that the gifts of the Spirit, they are not what you get when you have climbed up the ladder so high. No. The gifts of the Spirit are not for the apostle, for the pastor, for the evangelist, for the prophet. Yes, God works the gifts in a certain way, in the apostle, in the prophet, in the evangelist, but for the believer in Christ, praise God, the gifts are present, available. Don't forget, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, what did we see? Brethren. So it's open to everyone, accessible to everyone. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, what do we see again? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. to profit with all. And then in verse 11, but all this worketh that one and the self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as his will. Praise God. So there could be a number of hindrances, barriers that come from the wrong knowledge, where you are asked in a Christian environment, what are your spiritual gifts? I mean, that question is even a problem in the first place. But if you say, what gifts do you see often in your Christian life? That's better. When I say, what are your spiritual gifts? That question comes from a knowledge or an ideology that the Spirit of God takes the nine gifts and looks at different people and say, you can only carry the burden of two. If I give you more than two, something may happen to you. You know, so you, this is what I will give you. You like power. I'll give you power gifts. You talk too much. I'll give you utterance gifts. You know? You like gossip. I'll give you revelation gifts. Amen. No. Clearly, the Bible says, brethren, every man. That's emphatic enough, right? Every man. So the gifts are available to all of us. Praise God. Let me paint a picture to you. You are somewhere, you have not seen the gift of healing in operation in your life, which is something I don't usually, but for speaking sake, we can understand, but it's almost hard to find a Christian who is reading the Bible, who is in a local church, who is praying, and who is obeying what he's reading, and you not find the gifts of the Spirit in demonstration. He may not be able to explain it, but things are happening. Praise God. Even the ones that we don't know. Do you know the people that you've healed that you did not know? Okay, but let's leave that aside. So you've not seen the gifts of healing work in your life, and then you are in a place. This person needs healing. God wants to heal the person. The person recognizes you as a child of God and says, pray for me to be healed. So will God say that I have not given you the gifts of healing? So I'm sorry, it will not work. So I'll just allow this person to die. No, that's not what we read of God. Amen. But let's move on from there. So that should help your mind. Now, let me say this to you. Some may also look at it from the perspective of, okay, this is what the Spirit of God gave me and all of that. So in terms of possession, so I've been destined that these are the gifts that are my own and all of that. But of course, if you read through carefully, you will see that the gifts are available to all. Now, let me speak to you from the perspective of needs, right? If you want to be a blessing to certain people, and it will take all the gifts to be in demonstration for their needs to be met, then everything will be seen. Does that make sense? Everything will be in display. Everything. Everything. So as you see this in God's word, you must enlarge your heart. It must expand your mind to be able to receive this. At times, or a lot of times, we don't see the gift work because of the limitation of knowledge and ideologies. This is what we think. I have thought that what the Spirit of God wants to give me is tongues. Then, once in a while, the sign of spirits. And that's all. So, the will to desire the gifts of healing is deadened. Does that make sense? Because I feel that God has not given it to me or does not want to give it to me. But we must allow God's word correct, you know, all of those things. Are we saying that you will not find certain gifts more prominent? No, that's not what we're saying. As a matter of fact, in the offices, there's a way the gifts work that you might find more prominence of certain gifts in certain offices. Praise God. But that all the gifts cannot work in the individual believer, that's not true. That's not what we see in God's word. Brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Is it possible that as a body of believers, we can share labor? Where he flows with tongues, he gives interpretation, then you have some prophecy here, then you have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and then together, as we minister, we find all the gifts and experience. Yes, that's possible. But we must also, beg your pardon, enlarge our hearts and expand our minds that is God's will for the individual believer as well. Praise God. There's no gift God is withholding or trying to withhold from anyone. There's none. Praise God. So when you know that, it helps your desire. Oh, so it's available? Then I can go for it. Praise God. Sorry for using a party again. I hope I'm not frustrating you. Amen. You're in a party? And then you realize that certain drinks and certain meals were for certain people. Just notice it was for the rich, the wealthy, the particular table where an assembly of notable wealthy people are. And that's where the food is going. And then you just, and I feel like eating what they're serving them. But you just, well, I'm not part of them. And whatever you bring, I'll eat. Then someone in the party tells you, that no, if you want that, they'll bring it here. What will happen to you immediately? Say, yeah. Then I want it, right? That's desire by knowledge. Knowledge will inspire expectation, desire. Oh, so I can eat that meal, then why not go for it? Okay, please, I want that meal. You summon the courage. Like, I don't want anybody to embarrass me in this patio. I can already see that's where they are taking. So don't, let me just maintain my cool. Whatever they serve me, I'll take it. I don't want anybody to talk to me anyhow. I also have food in my house, you know, and all of it. Praise God. Okay? So when you have information, it affects how you reason. It affects your expectation and your desire. So you can now look forward to the gifts working in your life. Praise God. So there are various kinds of gifts, but the same spirit. So charisma will mean endowments, abilities that are a part of you. They're a part of you. Because you're a man in Christ, you would find those miraculous faculties in the man in Christ. So quickly, let me say that when you find a believer, he has believed the gospel, but he's not speaking with tongues. It's not like you then give him tongues. No, there's nothing like that. If he believes the gospel, he has the Holy Ghost. Praise God. If he has the Holy Ghost, the things of the Spirit are already present in him and with him. So what is happening to him? He has not for one moment come to a consciousness that he can speak. So what do you do when you get people filled? You don't give them tongues. No, you can't. Who are you? Amen? What do you do You help them to become conscious of what the Spirit has given to them. So you help them to realize a miraculous faculty within that is able to speak with tongues. That's what you do when you get people filled with the Holy Ghost. When you get people baptized with the Spirit, such that they can speak with tongues. That's what you are doing. You are not imparting tongues to them. You can't do that. It's the Spirit of God that opens up the miraculous faculty in he that believes. Hallelujah. So the same is true for the gifts of the Spirit. So I want us to say something together now. From verse 8 to 10. We're going to say with me, are you ready? Say, I have by the Spirit the word of knowledge. I have by the Spirit the word of wisdom. I interchanged that, sorry. Okay. I have by the Spirit the gift of faith. Say, I have by the Spirit the gifts of healing. Say, I have by the Spirit the working of miracles. Say, I have by the Spirit prophecy. Say, I have by the Spirit discerning of spirits. I have by the Spirit diverse kinds of tongues. I have by the Spirit the interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. I mean, at times, that's all it takes to even see them in manifestation. When you remind yourself, I have it. They're in my possession. I have it. Hallelujah. As you speak, you see. As you speak, you hear. Praise God. I have it. I mean, when you're going on evangelism, you say that to yourself. You remind yourself. You don't wait until you bump into a case. You remind yourself before you go that I have all the gifts working. Yes, I have all the gifts working. Today, all the gifts are working. Today, all the gifts will work. When I need the revelation gifts, they will deliver. When I need the power gifts, they will deliver. When I need the utterance gifts, they will be available. I have all the gifts working. You say that before you go to preach. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, information like this, don't forget Paul says that he would not have anyone to be ignorant. Again, ignorant is to be unaware of the facts. I've seen people before, what are the gifts of the Spirit? Say, or what gifts do you have? What spiritual gifts do you have? I have the gift of drama. The gift of mercy. The gift of, you know, things like that. So just assuming, okay, what can you do? Or what do you do in church? I have the gift of arranging chairs. Hallelujah. But that's not what Paul is talking about, amen? The gifts of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The gifts of the Holy Ghost. Where things are happening by the Spirit of God. In the seeing and knowing, in the hearing, in the speaking and in the doing by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Okay. So, verse 5, verse 6 talks about ministries, 6 operations or workings. And then verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And then we have run through verse 8 to 10, which lists the diversities as spoken of in verse 4. Okay? So it is same Spirit, but different abilities. Same Spirit, but different abilities. Okay? Not the Spirit of word of wisdom. The Spirit of same Spirit, but different abilities in the same Spirit. Different abilities by the same Spirit. So verse 11 then tells you, all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, can you see that? Dividing or distributing to every man severally as he will. And don't forget the word severally, individually or separately. So it is to distinguish each gift. Praise God. To distinguish each gift. I mean, if it were you, maybe you would have said tongues and then left out the interpretation of tongues and just said tongues, prophecy, that's all. But there was a distinguishing by the Spirit of God through Paul. Maybe you would have said working of miracles and left out the gifts of healing. Or maybe gifts of healing left out the working of miracles. Or maybe you have left out the gift of faith. But distinct working, same Spirit. And you know what I've said, that the gifts work together. In Acts 3, from verse 1 to 6, when Peter healed that man by the beautiful gate, the power gifts worked together. Yes, he healed him, but the working of miracles, the gift of faith, were in operation. They were in operation. Hallelujah. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, not rise up and walk. As a matter of fact, why can't what he said be utterances by the Spirit of God? Do you know that he got to the gate, talking in tongues, going to, let's just go, yeah, silver and gold, we know, yeah. You know, we're the ones that feel like that, yeah. That's why I use that, so that you can, you know. So, how does it go again? Silver and gold have I enough, but such as I give ID. What if that's tongues, interpretation, which is prophecy? In the name of Jesus Christ, and that is upon whom? And then the man heard and was still looking. Then he grabbed him by the hand, lifted him up. Hallelujah. The gift of faith. And as soon as that happened, the gift of the working of miracles and the gifts of healing were in operation. And the man was healed. Praise God. So perhaps six gifts. Are you here? In one operation. For Paul in Acts 14, he said, he perceived that the man had faith to be healed. Perception. So revelation enter. In one operation. So again, gift of faith, the gifts of healing, the working of miracles. That perceiving, we were not told. So it may be design of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, in operation. All together. Nine gifts. In one event. Praise God. But there's a distinguishing that Paul talks about in verse 11, where you can distinctly find them in operation. You are able to tell. Glory to God. So, in 1 Corinthians 12, maybe before I get to that, we must begin to acknowledge that there is such a thing as the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit, which we today call the charismatic ministry. A ministry with the charismas of God in it. The charismas of the Spirit. So we must acknowledge that ministry as ours. And of course, in the charismatic ministry, we would find excesses. I'm not saying excesses are okay. They are not. Right? But in people trying to walk in their own, develop their gifts, trying to walk with God, follow the Lord, you find excesses here and there. And that is the wisdom of being in a local church where you are being taught. Where Bible knowledge will help you to not do certain things. I told you before, I was in a meeting and, you know, the guy was flowing with the Holy Ghost. And then, that's over 10 years ago. And I began to call the color of the underwear of certain ladies we wanted to minister to in the meeting. What's that? Even if you are seeing it, don't say it. Amen. Find another way. Say, okay. That's the color of it. Then show me the face, Lord. The name. That's better in public. Amen. So you would find excesses because of that diversity of men. But we must allow the word of God to shape us and confine us and be that boundary within which we function and flow with the Holy Ghost. You find excesses. I told you I was in a meeting and I said, rejoice. Everybody, whoa, somebody carry chair. Whoa. Yeah. How is that by the Spirit of God? So the Spirit of God moved to carry. What's the chair for? Did your team just score a goal? No. Rejoicing is worship to God. It's holy. No. It's holy. It's worship to God. And therefore, we must act the right way. That's why when we are singing, I mean, that's not the time for any capturing anything. That's... there's a media team. That's their job. Anything they did not capture, sorry. I flow with the Holy Ghost. That's the end of your flow. I flow with the Holy Ghost. I flow. BBM 2024. I've added something else to it. 2024, we are flowing with the Holy Ghost here. So, excesses, right? But the learning of the word will help us to curb those excesses. So, we mustn't be afraid of the excesses. We'll find them here and there. Or you want to get some people to prophesy. Say, prophesy now. Are you being whipped by an angel? Just speak. Amen. I mean, you find excesses across board. All manner. If we start talking today, we will not end. The place of prayer, too. Well, let's move on. You see, after the demonstration of the Spirit, you now see other demonstrations. Particularly in vigils. Amen. Let me come for some of you. Hallelujah. Okay. So the gift. So there can be excesses, not to say, let me even say there will be excesses, not because we want them, not because they are good, because if you keep excesses around for too long, it will lead to error. It will lead to error. It may be that someone was not mature enough to handle the revelation gifts, saw something like that in one meeting, and then said it out like that. And people were there, heard it. Oh, so you can locate people like that by the color of their underwear. So, I'm seeing. Don't see anything. Amen. They are wearing clothes so that you don't see. How are you now seeing? They are seeing through the back door. Amen. Are you there? So we must give ourselves to the teaching of the word. And again, let me say, that is the wisdom of God in the local church. In a place where you are being taught, that as you press on to see the gift work more in your life, you are also being taught God's word accurately so that you can walk in order with the gifts. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul concluded by saying, let all things be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. Decently and in order. Amen? But the desire to see the gifts work, we must keep fanning that to flame. We must keep doing that. We must continue to do it. We must continue to desire. We must continue to encourage others to desire. We must. Praise God. The work of a pastor is not to be the one working in the gifts and then the congregation now depend on him. Should the pastor work in the gifts of the Spirit? Yes, and effectively so. But the pastor must now teach the people, create the environment for the people to flow with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Ensure that the right songs are sung. Amen. Ensure that the word of God is accurately taught. Ensure that the people behave the right way. Ensure. Amen. But we must always remind ourselves that we have endowments. We have miraculous faculties. Let me show you God's desire in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. He bore them witness. So, you know, that sounds like, as they went about preaching, God was eager to ensure that the gifts were in manifestation. He bore them witness with the gifts of the Spirit. Believe in Jesus. He can heal you. If you're sick in your body, come now and be healed. I say, be healed. Jesus is eager. Or God is eager to ensure that the power gifts are in demonstration. God bore them witness that their message of his resurrection was true. That the gospel they preached was true, with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Look at Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 20. Are you in church?
Yes, sir.
Mark 16 and verse 20. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Are you there?
Yeah.
Let's read the remaining part together. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And you see that? God confirmed, or the Lord confirmed the word that they preached with signs following. So, if you are so eager to see the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation or in demonstration, God is much more eager than you are. Does that make sense? It's a lot more. And then, you know, some people ask questions like, then if he's a lot more eager than we are, why are we praying? Come on. Must have been taught basic things in church. Why are we then praying? Why am I fasting and I'm not seeing it? That your parents have a strong desire for you to excel in school, does that mean that desire will translate into 100 over 100 in school? You work, right? You do what you need to do. Praise the Lord. So he confirmed what they preached with signs following, with the demonstrations of the Spirit, with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, Matthew was silent about the gifts in his concluding part. Mark was very bold about it. Or loud. Let me not say bold. Or loud. But if you go to Matthew 28 and 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you. Is that place where, that's where the demonstrations are. I am with you always. When the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 3, I am that I am, sending him to, is it, 3 or 4? Sending him to the children of Israel and Pharaoh, he put signs in his hands. So, behold, I am with you always. That's the message he must send to you. And as you go to preach, there are signs in your hands. Praise God. Say, I have signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Say, the gifts of the Spirit, they are working in my life. Because the Lord, the I am, is with me. Hallelujah. Say, I have the indwelling of the Spirit. He came with abilities, supernatural abilities. I have been endowed. I have been endowed. He has bestowed on me supernatural abilities. I have signs and wonders. I have the miraculous. I have the miraculous. I have the miraculous. Hallelujah. You must say that often. You mustn't be laid back and then say, ah, I tried. I went out to preach. I ministered to the sick. They did not get healed. And then you give up. No. How did you give up? So imagine it was you. You were part of Jesus' disciples. He had taught for 40 days. Then he left to heaven. And he says, wait, that on the day of Pentecost, this will happen. And then you prayed first day, prayed second day. The third day, you just left. And after you left, the rest were given the Spirit. You reckon, you agree with God's word, that this is what the word of God says. Yes, I ministered to someone yesterday. They did not get healed, but I agree with God. God says I have signs and wonders. So I'll try again today. Hallelujah. Say, I obey God. Say, I'm a believer. Therefore, I believe supernatural things. Hallelujah. So Jesus demonstrated to us such a charismatic ministry. The power given to a tangible demonstration. Okay, yes, it's Exodus 3 and 14. It says, I am that I am. To Moses. So what name? Okay, so can say the one who shows up to confirm his word. He put signs in the hands of Moses in Exodus 4. When he got to Egypt in Exodus 7, he displayed the signs. The magicians tried to do the same, but he overpowered them. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we have charismatic signs and wonders, and they are real. So when you read the Bible, you ought to whet your appetite. How does a sea part into two for a whole nation to about 2 million walk as on dry ground? Not muddy ground, though, dry. In a moment. Of course, you know, Joshua did the same with Israel at Jordan. Elijah and Elisha did the same parting Jordan. Maybe we should part two now. Hallelujah. The wall of Jericho came down with a shout. So some of us rejoice. Say, woo! Woo! Can Jericho come down like that? Like just do, ooh, just see two more blocks on the wall of Jericho. Ooh, two more. A shout that brings the wall down, as God has said. Hallelujah. You know, there are hindrances. You know, you can be at work and things are getting difficult. Your supervisor is picking on you, and this is happening, that is happening, and it's looking like things are going, but you just enter the toilet, lock up. 2 minutes. When you come out, all the spirits will be gone. All those demonic influences. Praise God. Amen? We have the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, in Joshua 12, Joshua said that the night should not come. So, in this part of the world now, by 6:45, right? Between 6:45 and 7, it gets dark. So imagine, say today, we want to see our ministries change. So the night will not come. We'll keep teaching. Oh, you're not with me. Say that one. Don't let's do it. Or maybe we should have done it yesterday. Yesterday night. Say, okay, the earth stands still. No night. So you look at 7 p.m., still as bright as day. 8, 9, 10, 12 a.m., still as bright as day. Everybody saw it. The days are coming.
Yes, sir.
Say, Lord, I need to finish this teaching in a midweek. Yes, sir. That's the excuse all of us. It's late. I need to get home. Okay. Today shall not be late. We need to finish this teaching series. So, Lord, until 10, there shall be no darkness. Everyone will be fine. Hallelujah. Say, don't do it. Oh. Let us continue to enjoy our nights like that. Or maybe some vigils. If we refuse the night to come, it will help some of us to pray. Or that night, it looks like in past sleep. Hallelujah. Praise God. What about 2 Kings 5, verse 6 to 7. Have you seen an axe before? Some of us may not be able to carry it. A good axe will not... some of us will not be able to. Usually with two hands. Some of us, if we do like this, it will not come down. You will go down with it. Heavy. Now, such went into the river. It will sink, right? And then they told the prophet, now borrow, we borrow. And the prophet said, where is it? Say, here. And that which sank came up. It floated. Let's all of us suspend law of flotation, Archimedes principle, signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Hebrew boys, Daniel 3. You know fire is fire. But they now said, 7 times hotter. They put them inside. When they went inside, the people outside were the ones seeing demonstration. We put 3 people inside. There's a 4th person there. How do you put someone in fire? What's the next thing? Yeah. They just fold like bushmeat, and that's it. But they were there in the fire and they came out. Or have we stopped reading our Bibles? The ministry of signs and wonders. 2 Kings 13, 20 to 21. We should see some more things like that. What happened? Elisha, his bones were in his sepulcher, his grave. They were burying someone. They spotted an army spying them who was coming to attack them. Amen? And what happened? They ran so that they can run better. They are carrying a lifeless person, right? And then he will slow you down. Then they put him in the sepulcher, and that one came to life. Yeah? So that means we can have people come into church on Sunday. They have surgery appointment on Monday. But it's canceled. On Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
You can have that during evangelism. The person was scheduled for surgery, but that 5 minutes that you spent with them, that 10 minutes... So all through the Bible, God always showed up with signs and wonders. Jesus wasn't left out. Acts 10, 38. God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So if God is with a man, there will always be signs and wonders. The gifts of the Spirit will be in manifestation. Is God with us?
Yes, sir.
Is he in us?
Yes, sir.
Then we also should see signs and wonders. You know, in Matthew 14, from verse 14 to 22, where Jesus fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You know, today, if it wasn't recorded that it was a little boy's meal, we would have tried to argue and change the narrative. That is a lie. In those days, one bread was like a beauty. So 5 loaves of bread, yes, to feed 5,000 people. So he began to cut it. A little boy's meal. What does a little boy eat? Can a little boy eat 5 loaves of bread today? Huh? Our 5 loaves of bread today, can a little boy eat it? A little boy, bring the little boy up because he needs deliverance. If he can. Right? And that fed 5,000 men. Don't forget the accounting system. They exclude the women and the children. So the historians tell us that they were about 12,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish or fishes. That's miraculous. Praise God. That's the miraculous. Amen. Work, make money, all right? But maybe you can use your vegetable oil longer than planned. Amen. But if you have money, go and buy. That probably will work for missionaries more. Amen. Or we'll drive the car for 1 month. The amen came out like, I've been spending too much of you. Amen. We look forward to demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Demonstrations. I'm seeing some things. Well, let me see them, okay? Demonstrations. Jesus healed the sick. Yesterday we read how he walked on water and helped Peter to walk on water too. We've heard stories of ministers of the gospel who walked beyond the platform, stood in the air. And it's not edited video. At that time, there was no video editing. Amen. The miraculous. Jesus healed all manner of sicknesses and diseases. And Jesus now said in Mark 16, that this sign shall follow those who believe. Those who believe will have the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. That's what he said. Now let's go to Mark 16. Mark 16. Are you still there? Mark 16. So Jesus was speaking to his disciples, right? From verse 15, he said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, will he be the disciples?" Huh? Will he be the disciples? The he will be who? Those who believe the disciples, right? Those who believe the disciples will be he that believeth, right? And is baptized. And we said to be baptized into Christ or into the family of God by the Spirit, says, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned, right? Verse 17. And this sign shall follow them that believe. Huh? So, who will the signs follow? Those who believe the gospel that the apostles preach. Right? Now, follow. Because we're trying to see something here. Trying to help you to see something here. So, he says, this sign shall follow them that believe. Now, who is he talking to? Huh? The disciples, right? But in what he is saying to them, who is he talking about? Those that believe, right? So he's saying to the disciples, this sign shall follow those that believe. So the signs will follow those that believe. Of course, technical observation, the apostles will believe, right? Or believers, right? And then the signs follow them. That tells us that after he ascended, then they went forth and then preached, and then the Lord confirmed what they preached with signs following. But he was leaving them an instruction that you will preach, people will believe, and these signs will follow them. So Mark 16 from verse 17 to 18, Mark was careful enough to let us know. Don't forget what we have said. We talked about Luke 24:49. Jesus wasn't just saying that you will be clothed with power. He told them to tarry. They had the responsibility, right? In Acts 1:8, the same thing. He wasn't just saying that, don't worry, when the Holy Ghost comes, you will see power. No, he told them to get a hold of it, right? And that has to do with consciousness. The same thing Mark is saying here. That you are going to do something about it. To see to it that those who believe, these signs follow them. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So you have a part to play. So in the local church, what do? We teach and train the saints to see the signs of the gospel. To see signs and wonder accompany them. It's a training. Amen? It's a training. And imagine if there's a training where you can learn digital skills and then begin to work online or on the online space and begin to make money. And then they say the training is from so-so time to so-so time. And then maybe you paid for it or someone paid for you. Now, imagine you did not attend the training. After the training, would you be able to do the trade? Huh?
No, sir.
Uh-huh. So, this answers a lot of questions for us. That we must stop asking that why are we not seeing the gifts in demonstration? Are believers in training? And are believers yielding to training? At the local church's training grounds, Jesus, the Lord himself, when he rose again, he gathered his disciples 40 days. 40. He had less than 50 days. Out of less than 50 days, he taught them for 40 days. So our local churches teaching and training the saints as Jesus has instructed the disciples. So he instructed his apostles. He says, ensure, paraphrasing, or he was pointing their attention, letting them know that those who believe, these signs will follow them. So it wasn't that, don't worry, you just preach as you preach. Observe, you just be seeing signs follow people. They themselves, did it happen like that? No, they were trained. Hallelujah. So, the choice of a local church is a local church where the word of God is being taught and the saints of God are being trained to receive a ministry of signs and wonders, to receive a charismatic ministry, to see to it that these signs are following them because they are believers in Jesus Christ. And if you go to the book of Acts, you will see that they began to have demonstrations, manifestations. Jesus had told them to wait for the promise of the Father, which yet he heard of me. For John to be baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days hence. And they asked the question in verse 6. And then in verse 8, he says to them, you get a hold of it. And in verse 14, Acts 1, they continued with one accord in prayer. One accord in prayer and supplication. One accord in prayer and supplication. In Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, when it fully came, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord. We all should be in a place where we are of one mind and of one purpose with the people there. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. A sound from heaven. A sound from heaven is not a song. A sound from heaven, it's a sound that is not of the earth. It's a spiritual sound. That's what that means. A sound from heaven. Something that he can hear and possibly the next person cannot hear it. If there is a loud sound, let me clap now. We all heard that, right? But a sound from heaven is a sound that it's not coming from things coming together, as it were, physically, but you can hear it. A spiritual or supernatural sound. They all heard a sound from heaven. Why? Because they were all in one accord. Supernatural happenings. For me, at times, I hear the sound of saints praying. And there's somebody praying around. Just hear it. Just hear it. Amen? A sound. And I believe that the voice of God can also qualify for a sound. Where God speaks to you and the next person cannot hear. Hallelujah. And then, of course, verse 3, there appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as a fire, and he sat upon each of them. Did you notice that from verse 6 all the way to 13, all the people that were confounded and amazed, none of them said anything about sound and fire? Huh? Did you notice that? What they complained about was the words that came out from the mouth of the disciples that they heard. That fire, that sound is beyond their level. They didn't hear anything and didn't see anything. But the disciples heard and saw. Praise God. Demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. Of course, about 120 people spoke with tongues, interpreted tongues, prophesied. And the people who came to celebrate Pentecost, Jews, were confounded. In Acts 3, we have referenced that again and again. Of course, let's not forget that 3,000 souls were added to the church in Acts 2. After that event at Pentecost. In Acts 3, the man who was healed by the gate of the temple. Every day they laid him there. But this particular day, at the hour of prayer, because of the consciousness of Peter and John that they had the gifts of the Spirit, that they had the name of Jesus, a man's story was turned around. It was no longer by the gate. It was now in the temple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was no longer by the gate, but now in the temple. And of course, the people in the temple were confounded again, and Peter preached. From Acts 3, verse 11, all the way to 26. In verse 16, he said, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you now see and know. Yea, the faith of him, the faith which is by him, had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." I trust, Lord, that in 2025, this will be common.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
It will be common. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Acts 4, they preached. They faced opposition, but in verse 20, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In the face of threats, persecution, by the authorities of the synagogue, they yet deepened their consecration. And then in Acts 4, 23 to 31, they went back to the company of disciples. They went back to the church and prayed. And of course, the place where they were assembled together was shaken together. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and with boldness. Hallelujah. In Acts 5, 12 to 16, many signs and wonders. Many. Many. That's what he says in verse 12. Many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Look at verse 15. Insomuch that he brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. In Acts 6, they appointed deacons to serve tables. But see what yet happened. There was a supernatural effect. A supernatural, in verse 7, the word of God increased. I thought it was for them to serve food. The word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Of course, if you read from verse 8, Acts 6 to 15, you will see Stephen, who was one of the deacons, and then from Acts 7 all the way to the end, how he preached. He preached the gospel. One of the people chosen to serve tables, but it was effective in the preaching of the gospel, and the ministry of signs and wonders. So much that while he was being persecuted, while he was to be killed, the gifts of the Spirit were yet in demonstration. That he saw the Lord Jesus. He saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. And then you see the man Stephen, Philip, rather, another deacon out of the seven that were chosen, who, because of the persecution that broke out, in which Stephen died, he fled to Samaria. And in Samaria, see again, from verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing what? Miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, verse 7, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. In the name of Jesus, in 2025, many Philips will arise. Amen. Who will go into places and cause joy in the hearts of men by the gospel and by the ministry of signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus. We can go on and on. Paul was arrested by a demonstration. On his way to Damascus, he saw light. And from there, his destiny changed. He was hearing the Lord Jesus speak to him. Look at verse 7. He says, and the men, Acts 9, which journeyed with him, stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Demonstrations. And then, if you go to verse 10, the Lord appeared to Ananias, spoke with him, told him what was happening to Saul. Saul at the same time was seeing himself and seeing Ananias come to minister to him. Why will there not be demonstrations every now and then where things are happening? Things are happening. In St. Mark 9, Peter healed Ananias and raised Dorcas to life, who was dead. In Acts 10, Cornelius, man yet to be born again, saw an angel who described where Peter was. He sent men. They found Peter. The Holy Ghost told Peter, go with them. And that was contrary to his theology at that time. He wasn't preaching to Gentiles, but he preached. And while he yet spake these words, Acts 10, 44 to 46, the Holy Ghost fell on all those who heard the word. Amen. What about Acts 12? The king had taken James, killed him, but the church prayed, and Peter was rescued from prison, supernaturally, not in a vision. Not he dreamt that he will be taken, and then an angel rescued him and he woke up. No. James had been taken and was killed. But Peter was rescued supernaturally. Hallelujah. What about Paul in Acts 14? In Lystra, verse 8. And there sat a certain at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, whom never had walked, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, in the speech of Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. I trust the Lord that we'll hear that many times in 2025, beginning from today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we can go on and on and on. In Acts chapter 19, Acts 19 and verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I said glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we must embrace a charismatic ministry. We must embrace a ministry of signs and wonders. We must embrace a ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. We must not exclude ourselves by anything. Knowledge, we must wage war against ignorance. Whatever it is that is making you to feel like maybe God has not called me to. No, he has called you to. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul said, brethren. 1 Corinthians 12:7, every man. 1 Corinthians 12:11, every man. Every man. So you and I must deepen our consecration. We must resolve to see the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit as ours. Wherever we find ourselves, old or young, on the campuses, at the workplace, where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. Hallelujah. Where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. Quickly, let me run through. I may not have the time to do that as I want to, but I'll be brief and help us to catch it as much as possible. So we have done a number of running through 1 Corinthians 12 in this meeting. And so in 1 Corinthians 12 and 31, you know, this is where we started on Friday. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet try unto you a more excellent way. And we must not forget that the epistle to the Corinthians was written to a church. Amen?
Amen?
Was written to an assembly of believers, an assembly that had a pastor, that had spiritual leaders, that had elders, that had those who just got born again, that had those who had been born again a while, that had those who were in leadership. In essence, a body of saints. And he writes to them and says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And he had talked about the gifts in verse 4 and verse 8 to 10. He talked about the gifts in verse 4. Of course, he mentioned that there are diversities to them. And then in verse 8 to 10, he shows these diversities distinctly. But in verse 31, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. And the reason he says best is for something. Now, out of the gifts of the Spirit, there are certain that do better in the church. All the gifts ought to work in the church. But there are certain that do better in the church. And that's the reason for best. Okay? Now, I would prefer to use the word better because of the root word, so as not to also project that there are best gifts, there are better gifts, and there are good gifts. No. It was just a simple comparison. All right? Or distinguishing. So, in chapter 13, he essentially talks about love. Love. And by the time you read from verse 4 to verse 7, you see what love is. Love suffers long. King James says charity. Love is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Okay? That is, love is not rash. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemingly. Love does not seek our own or its own. Love is not easily provoked. Love does not think evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. But love rejoices in truth or in the truth. Are you there? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Does that make sense? Love never fails. Now follow. In chapter 14 and verse 1, it now says, follow after charity. What does that mean? It means all of these characteristics of love, let that be true or be so in your Christian walk or in your pursuit of the gifts of the Spirit. So we must then begin to realize and adjust in our minds that it is not for mere performance. Since the first session, we've been emphatic on the fact that we'll walk in all of the gifts. That even the person who just got born again yesterday will come in here and will be able to flow with ease. But we must begin to embrace order and essence. That charity must come first, which is love. It is love that will be my motivation to walk in all of the gifts. Does that make sense? Not for show off. I just want to show you that I can know something that you did not tell me. Those things can be useful at times. It will help the person to listen to you. Have you observed that when we read through Acts, there will be a supernatural demonstration and then they will take advantage of it and preach? That happened in Acts 2. The same thing happened in Acts 3, right? So the point is not, we just want to show that we have the power gifts and then we healed the man by the beautiful gates and that was it. No. When they even got into the temple, they humbled themselves. That why are you looking on us? As though by our own power and holiness, we have made this man strong. Why are you looking at us as though, you know, that is, it's because of some, maybe who we are or what we have and all of that. No! It is the name of Jesus. It is his name and through faith in his name. So we must begin to adjust our minds that when love is the motivation, then we'll find the gifts in manifestation more. Love. And love simply means that you want to be a blessing to another person. You want to bless others. John 3:16, very popular verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You must be willing to go on evangelism, to go on the streets, to preach. In that sacrifice of reaching the lost, you see the gifts in manifestation. Mark 16 and 20. As they went forth to preach everywhere, the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. We must be love-minded. And so he starts 1 Corinthians 14 by saying, follow after. The New King James says, pursue love. Go hard after love. And what does that mean? Desire spiritual gifts rather that you may prophesy. So in the church, we will pay more attention to utterances. Utterances. And don't forget 1 Corinthians 12:31. So the best gifts or the better gifts within this context, not for you to rank them against themselves, within the context of the local church will be the utterance gifts. And that's why from chapter 14, you'll find that it begins to talk about utterances. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in tongues, or speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God, but no man understanding him, but albeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesied, speaketh unto men, education, extension, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, edified himself. But he that prophesied, edified the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except in the priest, that the church may receive edifying. So you now begin to follow after love. You pay attention to the utterance gifts. And then you ensure that you edify others. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things that like giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is pipe or harp? For if the prophet, trumpet, give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, except ye utter by the words, utter by the tongue, words easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For he shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, for as much as he has zealous of spirituals, seek that ye may excel. Can you see that? To the edifying of the church. Are you still with me? Wherefore, let him that speak in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Not pray to God to grant interpretation. There's nothing wrong with praying to God, right? But you pray in a way that you interpret to others. Okay? In the church, you are seeking to edify. Verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit pray, but my understanding is not fruitful. What is it then? I'll pray with the spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. Else when I shall bless with the spirit, I shall either occupy the room of the dead and say amen. And thy giving no thanks, understanding not what thou sayest. For thou hast already given thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church, can you see the attitude? I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Verse 19, yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Of course, you should know that Paul will be speaking from the position of a minister, not the one who sits among the congregation. He is their spiritual father. Amen? So I will speak words that you will understand. Than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Albeit in malice be you children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth for them that believe not. Serveth not for them that believe not, right? But for them that which believe. Amen? So prophesying is for us to bless one another regularly in the church, in the church, in the church, in the church. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those unlearned and unbelievers, we do not say that ye are mad, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or unlearned, he is convinced of all and is judged of all. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. So what did you notice there? He emphasized the utterances. Whilst in the utterances, he introduced the revelation gifts. Amen? Because the secrets of his heart cannot be made manifest until it is shown to you. Until it is revealed to you. Praise God. Until it is revealed to you. So there seems to be an order in the church. Utterances. Utterances. Praise God. Utterances. But from utterances will follow the revelation gifts. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you, out of psalm, out of doctrine, out of tongue, out of revelation, out of an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. And then in 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, and or at most by three, and that by course, let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, what will happen? Let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak to by two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be what? Revealed to another. See the revelation gifts can be in operation. That seated by, let the first hold his peace, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Can you see that? Can you see how he moved back to prophecy? So it is within prophecy that you find the revelation gifts. Like you can see the revelation gifts in operation or in manifestation. And you see that the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophet. And we can go on. And of course, we're almost done reading. But let me just jump to verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. So you won't just say, because I'm a believer, because I have miraculous faculties, because I've been endowed with the faculty to speak supernaturally, I will not follow after. No. If you do not follow hard after prophecy, you will not see as much as you ought to. Amen? You will not see as much as you ought to. You must follow hard. You must want to prophesy. You must want to. So 39, he says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Same word, covet earnestly. 1 Corinthians 12 and 31, zelo. To strongly want something. It's like a craving. Imagine someone leaves Ibadan, travels to Lagos to buy pizza or ice cream. Say, that one that they have in Lagos, my God. And then you travel all the way. That's a craving. Have you gone all the way to prophesy to someone before? Or have you spent 1 hour praying at home so that you can be a blessing to someone when you get to church? So love will lead. Love will be your motivation. I want to be a blessing. No, I just want to show off. No, I want to be a blessing. I want to ensure that I contribute the spirit supply to my brother, my sister, so that they can be better in their spiritual walk, so that I can supply to their need, to their want. Amen, amen. So as believers, in the gathering of believers, we must be particular about the utterance gifts. But have you noticed that as we read, he just switched into revelation gifts and went back into utterances. He didn't switch per se. He was simply letting you know that as you yield to the utterance gifts, things can be revealed. And if you notice the intelligent way he said it, that if something is revealed to this person, then let this person keep quiet. Because that revelation is a direction. Not just for, I saw something and that's it. No! That revelation is a direction. So this person who has been speaking, let him stop. Let this one who something has been revealed to, let him speak. So that we can see a direction, so that we can see the direction that the Spirit of God wants for us, and then we follow through. Amen? Praise God. So, you will follow after the demonstration of the things of the Spirit, albeit love at the forefront. Love taking the lead. Love is that I so much want to be a blessing to another person. Okay? Not for show off, not to bamboozle, nothing of that. Just because I want to bless the church. So follow after charity is the same as to be much willing to bless the church, to bless the saints. Yes, there are different areas of our lives where we can demonstrate love, you know, but it must cut across. So we're emphasizing when it comes to the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit, the motivation must be love. It must be love. It must be love. I want to see this person better. I want to see the plan of God fill the earth. I want the love of God to overwhelm and overshadow this person. I want this person to know God more. I want this person to come into the family of God. I want this person to understand their Bible more. I want this person to walk in the gifts of the Spirit as the Bible has said. I want this person to stand in God's plan and purpose for their life. I want this. That must be it. Amen. Or we can speak from the perspective of obedience to God. I want to obey God. I want to obey God. He shows me things. I tell people about what he has said. You're praying at home about the service. You just see someone's face. You know, you could have diverse demonstrations. Just see someone's face. And that's all. You don't hear anything. And then you just have an impression to take extra money, more than your offering. By the time you get to church or you think further on that thing that he showed you, you will know what to do. It will be that he's simply leading you. That person is in a financial situation. They may not have enough to go back home. And then he just led you. And that's just about it. I mean, so it will not be that you come to church, you now meet the person, God show me your face, so God show me your, and that, no. To the end that he was able to show you in secret, without that other person complaining, that this person is in a financial crisis, and he led you, you took money, and you were a blessing quietly. Amen? Amen? Amen. When we let love lead, the excesses will be less. When we let love lead, the excesses will be less. So we must find or stir up ourselves to more eagerness and earnestness to in blessing others, in evangelism, in reaching the lost. I just want more people to be a part of our church. More sinners to come into the family of God. I see the blessedness of being in God's family. I have been a part of God's family. I have enjoyed the graciousness and the blessedness and the favor of God in the family of God. I've enjoyed the working of God's power and his gifts. I want more people to come into the family of God. And that motivates you to pray. That motivates you to go out to preach. That motivates you to expect the gifts of the Spirit to be in manifestation. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you find the gifts in demonstration when there is more eagerness or earnestness to bless. And what will produce earnestness in blessing others is love. 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 Like we read before in Hebrews 2:4, it was because they preached the gospel that God bore witness. They were concerned about the gospel, and then God bore witness with signs, wonders, diverse miracles. Mark 16, we saw the same thing. They went preaching the gospel everywhere, and the Lord walked with them, confirming the word with signs following. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 to 5, Paul said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and of power. And your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Such confidence that when you go out to preach, your confidence is not that you have relief materials or welfare materials, the way you prepare food and give to people, which is not bad. Amen? If you go to preach to someone and the person is hungry, so hungry that they can't listen to you, common sense should tell you that you should buy food for the person. Amen? God is not against that. But his plan and his purpose should be the foremost. And for the church, you know, welfare should not be our confidence, that we will make food available so that people will come. The gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Please play for me. But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. But in the power of God. But in the power of God. Hallelujah. But in the power of God. In 2025, the Spirit of God will have me tell you that you must make a commitment to Matthew 28, 18 to 20. To teach all nations, make disciples, reach the lost, and you train them. So we'll be committed to the preaching of the word. But don't forget, by the gifts of the Spirit. By the gifts of the Spirit. So you make a commitment to reach the lost more. You make a commitment to love and serve the church of Jesus more. So as we have seen in 1 Corinthians 12, 31, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1, and 1 Corinthians 14, beg your pardon, and verse 1, and 1 Corinthians 14 and 39, that we have a responsibility to be desirous. Desirous. Every day in 2025, of course, beginning from today, you will check your desires every day. And you commit yourself to an increase in desires as the days go by. You ask yourself, how desirous are you? You'll ask yourself, how in need are you of the demonstrations of the Spirit, of the diversities, of the encounters, of the experiences? You'll ask yourself, how hungry are you for the things of God? How hungry are you for more? How hungry are you to see the plan of God unfold in the earth? How hungry are you to see the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation? How hungry? How hungry? How hungry? So you commit yourself more to prayer. You consecrate yourself more to praying, offering prayers to God, fellowshipping with Him regularly, sharing His burden, knowing what is on His mind, knowing His plan, His purpose, and His will on the earth. Coming to that point from the place of prayer, that His will shall be mine. Coming from that point, from the place of prayer, that His kingdom shall be done in the earth. His will shall be established in the earth. You must yield yourself to prayer. You must fellowship with God more. Fellowship. Fellowship more with the Father. Fellowship more. Fellowship more by the gifts of the Spirit. Seeing what He wants you to do. Hearing what He wants you to do or what He wants you to say. And saying the things that He shows you in the place of prayer. And your confidence shall increase. And the boldness shall be more. and the confidence and the assurance shall be stronger to walk with God on the earth by the gifts of the Spirit, reaching more people, living a life of sacrifice, a life of sacrifice, a life that lets love lead, a life that is after blessing others, a life that is after being sacrificial, being available for other people, a life that is after being spent so that other people can be blessed, so that other people can be better in their Christian walk and in their life generally. A life that is always ready to give, always available to render service to God. A life that is always ready to be a blessing to other people. You will be that person, but you will commit yourself to much praying. You will pray and pray again. You will set apart time to pray. You will pray on the go. You will pray with the saints. You will pray in the congregation. You will take quality time to fellowship more with the Father. And you will see more. You will hear more. You know what to do. You know who to bless. You will see where the harvest is. And you will walk right into it and reap the harvest for the Lord. You will take the time to pray. You yield yourself more to pray. Can we form groups now? Let's form groups. And let's just pray. Let's just pray. We'll let love lead. We'll be that vessel that God wants to use. 4 to 5 persons is okay. 4, 5, 6, as the case may be. We'll yield more to prayer. We'll yield more to the fellowship in the Word. We'll read our Bibles. We'll be available in church meetings to learn the Word. We yield ourselves to discipleship, yielding ourselves to spiritual training, whereby the Spirit of God, we are taught through the men that He has chosen to be trained, raised to do supernatural things. And we will not be proud. We will be humble. We will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God to see the gifts working in our lives. Oh, 2025, what a great year to serve the Lord more, to walk in order, to walk in precision and accuracy. Thank you, Lord.